It's time for another edition of Taco Tuesday here on Q92, and we get together with Amber Boyens, nutritionist and dietitian, and with Immunutrition right here in Madison, Minnesota. Welcome on the airwaves again, Amber.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you're all tan and back from Florida.
I'm not very tan, but I am back from Florida.
All right, time to get back to work.
That's right.
Quit goofing around. Well, we're going to talk about an important subject today that people hear a lot about and probably don't know a lot about, but hear about it in the news these days, and that's diabetes.
Yes.
All right. And you were telling me that it's on the rise.
It is on the rise, especially among kids, which is particularly troubling. So a lot of times when I'm thinking about topics that we're going to talk about, I base it on questions that people have asked me. But sometimes I also look at, I get an email every day with some of the interesting research. And one of the ones that popped up is the projections that they're showing now for increases in diabetes, both type 1 and type 2, among adolescents, among kids. So one of the things that the experts are projecting right now, based on the trends that we're seeing, is an 8-fold increase in type 2 diabetes among children by 2060. And I know 2060 feels like a long ways away, but an 8-fold increase in that amount of time is pretty substantial. Also a 65% increase in type 1 diabetes. So historically, when we think about children being diagnosed with diabetes, it used to be that it was almost assumed that it was type 1. So we know a little bit about type 1 diabetes. I have a nephew who has type 1. I have a cousin who has type 1. And have another cousin who has type 1. So type 1 is an autoimmune disease. So autoimmune diseases typically have some sort of a genetic component. New research is showing that they probably have some level of a gut component as well, but something in life triggers it to occur. So in type 1 diabetes, the pancreas has stopped producing insulin. So blood sugars just continue to go up, and your body isn't producing the insulin it needs to bring it down. So that usually happens after some kind of a trigger, and usually we don't know what that trigger was. Type 2 diabetes, on the other hand, typically is lifestyle induced. So risk factors for type 2 diabetes would be things like weight, obesity and overweight, heart disease, and diabetes increases your risk for heart disease as well. But some of those less healthy inactivity, less healthy lifestyle behaviors are what put you at risk for type 2. So when we see children having an increased rate of diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, it's definitely something that we want to pay attention to look at, and to address. So one interesting study, the study was done at Johns Hopkins Children's Research Center, but it was a multi-center study. So it looked at different places around the country and found that type 2 diabetes in youth rose 77%. During the first year of our pandemic over the previous 2 years, and that those coming in had worse blood sugar regulation than those who had been diagnosed in the 2 previous years before the pandemic. So this has been a trend that's been ongoing over at least the past 20 years, but definitely getting worse and expected to get far worse here in the next couple of decades beyond here. So.
All right. And then, of course, you going back to your nephew.
Yes.
My grandson.
Yes.
Who has type 1 diabetes.
Yep.
He got it when he was about 3 years old, and it just kind of popped up out of nowhere.
It did.
And there's really nothing in the family or in our side of the family that nobody had diabetes before.
Right.
So you never know just where it can pop up.
You don't. Yeah. And like I said, historically, type 1 was usually seen in children. We have seen an increase in that type 1 autoimmune type of diabetes in adults. You have a nephew on my cousin on the other side of the family who was diagnosed with type 1 in his 40s.
Right.
And his mom, your sister-in-law, my aunt, was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes in her 60s.
Right.
Or 70s, I think, which is not typical. Usually when people get diagnosed later in life, it's type 2, but it's certainly possible because, again, that trigger for that autoimmune disease has to happen. So there's not necessarily a lot that we know of that we can do to avoid type 1. One of the few things that emerging research has shown is that gut health might play a contributing factor. So everything I talk about always comes back to gut health, right? But really, type 1 is much harder to prevent than type 2. So type 2, when we think about, especially in children, but in all of us. Type 2 is really the thing we can focus our energy on and do our best to try to prevent.
And how can we do that?
So, several ways. Two of the things that we won't dive super deep into here, but just kind of a surface mention of them because I think they're important. Physical activity is always important. We are more sedentary than we've ever been. We have more screens than we've ever had. We take fewer steps every day than ever before. So creative play, outside time, anything. It doesn't have to be organized sports, but movement is so important. Stress reduction is also important. So we could debate all day all the different places that stress comes from and reasons that kids might have increased stress these days because of things like social media and constant exposure to polarized content and all of that kind of stuff. If you feel like your child is having issues with stress, I would really encourage you to bring it up at a well child visit, bring it up with a mental health professional, because those mental health things really impact physical health. And we know from research in adults that mindful activities, things like yoga and just mindful eating, can help control blood sugars. So if we can teach kids that when they're young, that can really make a big impact in the long run. But from diet, there's a ton we can do. So the most important thing is not unnecessarily stressing your pancreas, your liver, and your kidneys. Those are three really important organs when it comes to blood sugar control. Number one thing you can do is avoid excess added sugar. So where do you think excess added sugar comes from?
Oh, I don't know, candy and that kind of thing, I suppose.
Absolutely. Pop is a huge one. Drinking your sugar is probably one of the worst things we can do. Kids, the recommendation is no more than 4 to 6 ounces of juice per day. So that's a half a cup to 3/4 of a cup of juice. So if kids are drinking more than that in a day, or if they're drinking a lot of pop, that's a great place to start making changes. And that includes things like juice boxes, anything like that, all counts toward added sugar. Now, I talk a lot about, you know, not labeling foods as good versus bad, and I still think that that's really important, that we don't label things as good versus bad. But anytime we're taking in added sugar or having an added sugar environment with our kids, trying to create happy memories around the moments instead of around the food itself. So bake cookies together, make a treat together, try different things rather than just having the packaged cookies in the house. And I would say same thing for grandparents. I can't tell you how many times I've had people in my office say, well, I just keep the cookies around for the grandkids. They don't need them either. So again, making cookies together, having those memories can be better than just providing it.
Some of my happy memories were loading up on cookies and candy off the dish on the counter at grandma's house.
I know. And I get it. I remember walking into your mom, into my grandma's house, and looking for the Smarties container. So I know that those things, you know, bring so much joy for us. But I got like one little thing of Smarties, right? I didn't get to eat the whole container. Right. And it was very monitored. And I think that's really what we need to teach our kids is a little bit of sugar is okay. A little bit of treats. There's nothing wrong with that. But we also need real food. We need fat. We need protein. We need fiber. So that's another huge thing, is really getting enough of our plant-based foods, our colorful foods, our healthy fats. We talk about this stuff every week, and it's relevant here too. So the quality of food that we feed our children, to our families, to ourselves, whether we're talking about toddlers or our elderly grandparents, the quality of food that we're eating is really important. And aiming for getting that stuff from whole food rather than supplements, unless those supplements are recommended because of a disease state or labs that you have or dietary restrictions. But the more we can get from whole food, generally speaking, the better we're going to be. So whole food and movement and a little bit of mindfulness is going to go a long ways.
All right. Well, if anybody has any more questions about this subject, you would be glad to work with them and maybe help.
Definitely.
Get set up a diet that will help you avoid diabetes and other problems.
Yes.
And how do they find you?
Well, you can find me online at www.imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com. Or on Facebook at IMU Nutrition.
And you live right here in Madison, Minnesota, so you're
sure
easy
do.
To find, and you can, you know, people can talk to you personally. And
anytime.
Always ready to lend a hand.
You got it.
All right. Well, we'll talk again next Tuesday on another Taco Tuesday. Amber, a lot of good information today, as always. And
thank you.
Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good.